The Guardian.
Clearly, a building that's so sophisticated and complex in its design is difficult to put together. So the contractor, Balfour Beatty, has wrangled for quite a long time with how they could build this this kind of structure, which doesn't have too many right angles in it, frankly. And when they came to put a price on it, it was at this much higher level than was originally expected.
And the Guardian's put in a Freedom of Information request to find out more about the process by which this building was approved by the jury. And what have we found out?
Well, that's right. The reason we put the request in was we were intrigued to discover more about the design competition in which Zaha was triumphant. It was a competition which happened before, as I said, the games were won in 2005. And there was a lot of pressure on it to produce something with real wow factor that the SEBCO and the other Olympic officials could take to Singapore and show in the brochures the kind of ambition that London had for producing a spectacular 2012 Olympics. So they ran an architectural competition, and they had some of the country's leading architects sitting on the jury. It was co-chaired by Richard Rogers, for example. And it attracted architects from around the world, some of the best architects from France, from Italy and Britain. And there was a huge amount of focus on that competition because it was going to set the tone for the design of this this Olympic campus. And that's why we wanted to ask, really, how could they have chosen a design that had, you know, potentially so many problems? And that's why we asked them for the jury notes, which is what they've provided us with.
And what do they tell us?
They tell us a little bit about each of the competing six designs. And what they tell us about the Zaha design is that the jury was really caught between feeling seduced, and this is a word they use, and bowled over, really, by Zaha's plan, and some real concerns about the ceiling and whether the wood would work on the ceiling in such a humid environment, that it didn't really seem to be sufficiently developed in terms of how it would be used after the Olympics. It didn't even seem to be sufficiently developed about how it would work during the Olympics, which is one of the most alarming things. And they also talked about a concern about a missing cost, which was around the issue of how it would be converted after the games were finished. But at the same time, they did think that this was going to be spectacular. They thought it was going to be, you know, the jewel in the crown of the 2012 Olympics, and so they went for it.
So they went for it despite concerns about the cost. I mean, what's been the reaction to the Guardian's revelations?
There has been, you know, a fair bit of scrutiny about the Aquatic Centre and its spiralling cost already. The Department for Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee have said that the management of the Aquatic Centre is evidence that Olympic bosses are spending money like water. And the reaction we've had from members of that committee is that this is, you know, simply further evidence of that, really. The Conservative shadow Olympics minister, a man called Hugh Robertson, has said that this shows really that if they knew all this, they shouldn't have selected Zaha's design. In their defence, the Olympic Delivery Authority and some of the jury members do point out that this was very early days for the design, and that in traditional architectural competition, there should be an allowance, really, for loose ends and things not being settled. So it could be possible that a design competition won in 2004 could then be developed and carefully managed, so it would produce an outcome that everybody would be happy with. They say they've done that, which is a little bit hard to understand when you see that the cost has gone up quite so dramatically as it has from 2004 to now.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.